Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, February 15th. From Capitol coverage, Democratic lawmakers unveiled an extreme risk protection order bill yesterday, also known as a red flag law. KUNC's Lee Patterson reports.
The extreme risk bill would allow firearms to be temporarily taken away from someone in crisis through an order issued by a judge. Democratic Representative Tom Sullivan is one of the sponsors. His son was killed in the Aurora Theater shooting. At a press conference surrounded by other lawmakers, sheriffs, and activists, Sullivan said that this bill can reduce firearm deaths, especially suicide.
We're on the clock right now, folks. If we keep talking about it, people are going to keep dying. And this is a simple thing to do to save lives.
Similar legislation was introduced in Colorado last year and failed. At least 13 states across the country have an extreme risk type law on the books. I'm Lee Patterson at the state capitol.
Take a drive or a walk around downtown Paonia, and you'll see that there's another certainty in life besides death and taxes. The roads are terrible. The town of Paonia was slated to receive grant money to work on the problem. That money is not coming. KVNF News spoke with Town Administrator Ken Knight to get the scoop.
We certainly get complaints about them, and the basic response is that we do the work we can, but it's an expensive process to fix roads. And we applied for over $18 million in a grant that would have essentially fixed 3rd Street, 2nd Street, and Grand Avenue. We didn't get the grant, but that's $18 million just to do those three streets. So it's not an inexpensive proposition. I can make a really, really pretty street for $40,000 to $50,000 in the last 3-4 months, but to actually rebuild the street, to go in and do the base, and that's the biggest problem we have, is that we really don't have good base underneath the asphalt, which doesn't allow water flow, which of course the freeze-thaw cycle in the wintertime. Last winter, when we didn't have nearly as much snow, therefore not nearly as much freeze-thaw, not nearly as much water, we didn't have the same issues that we've had this year. And I think some of the work that's been done might have not been engineered as well as it could have been, and we're looking at fixing some of those issues as well.
A fair question this winter is, are the roads really that bad, or does it just seem like it? Last year, town road users got spoiled in the sense that it snowed maybe 5 times all winter. This year, however, has already seen frequent freezes and thaws, rain, snow, ice, sleet, and all sorts of weather complications that did not plague the town's work crews last year.
Last year, essentially, Public Works Department sanded 4 times and plowed once. I can't tell you how many times we plowed, and of course we've sanded. And the amount of the ice build, it seems like we've gotten snow, then some warm weather, everything starting to melt, then freeze. So we're getting some ice pack in places that, and again, I haven't lived here a long time, but in places that I didn't see before. And again, we're looking at some of the places where we're really having problems with water flow and thinking that we really need to focus on those, because the best thing to do is to get the water off the road.
The town posted a statement about the roads on its website this week. It explains that the pothole filler the town uses, called Hot Mix Asphalt, or HMA, requires a minimum temperature of 185 degrees to work properly and set. Changes in temperature, and especially excess water, makes the HMA wash out in days. To fix the potholes long term, the job has to be done in the summer.
That's right. We have to do those fixes in the summertime, and we have to do those fixes when they're dry. And it's simply not possible to do in the wintertime. And the really frustrating thing is that I can get the crew out there, I can get them to put in the cold patch. It really looks good right after they've done it. And that night, it freezes, as you know, when water freezes, it, you know, the ice expands. Then the next time the plow goes by or, you know, vehicle traffic goes by, it's going to break that patch right up. And 2 or 3 days after we filled those potholes, it might look like we haven't done anything at all. And people, you know, why isn't the town doing anything?
The Environmental Protection Agency released an action plan yesterday in regards to potentially toxic chemicals known as PFAS, PFAS. The chemicals have been detected in drinking water in Security, Widefield, and Fountain. For the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, KRCC's Abigail Beckman has more.
At a public meeting in Fountain, Regional EPA Administrator Doug Benevento said the agency plans to set a maximum contaminant level, or MCL, for PFAS by the end of this year.
That process requires that we collect data. That process requires that we have public comment. And we have to take all that into account before we set a final MCL.
Many residents there were frustrated, saying efforts to address the chemicals have already taken too long. Benevento said if the process is not done correctly, it could be negated in the court system.
That would set this process back significantly.
Authorities believe the contamination in southern El Paso County came from PFAS-containing firefighting foams used in training exercises at Peterson Air Force Base. For 91.5 KRCC News, I'm Abigail Beckman.
Liz Rosenbaum with the Fountain Valley Clean Water Coalition said the plan and clarification from the EPA gives her group something to work toward.
We would like to have an MCL, a maximum contaminant level. We would have liked to have had it in 2017. However, they're coming with, this is why we can't do it. We have to follow the procedure or else we end up in court.
That procedure includes collecting healthcare data and having a public comment period. While many residents at the meeting were dissatisfied with the continued timeline, EPA officials say the regulatory steps they are taking are legally defined and must be followed to make it through the court system. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, February 15th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.